Good morning. This is the Tourism Bureau Business Improvement District meeting for October 9th. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock. My name is Nick Mendoza. I'm the vice chair. Michelle Hawkes is away today. We have on remote our member John Myers is out there somewhere, but he's here. John? All right, thank you. At this time, we'll open it up for public comment period. Anyone in the audience want to come up and speak?
You think you're confused about who's what board meeting you're on. Just think what the public thinks. My name is John Solo, citizen of Morro Bay, also the president of the Harbor Festival. First of all, I wanted to thank all the volunteers, all the board members, all the establishments that we helped, and all the establishments that we didn't help very much. Thank you. It was another successful year. A month ago, I was told that it was going to rain September 25th on, because they read it in the Farmer's Almanac, but boy, were they wrong, because it was over 100 on Saturday. And it might have affected, believe it or not, our attendance on Saturday, because it was just too hot. And we did much better on Sunday than we did Saturday. But as things roll forward from this point on, Morro Bay Harbor Festival is looking at itself all over again. We had to see what we can do differently. I know that I'm not on the agenda, but I'd like to get some feedback from the board. Maybe making a comment on the public comment about what you think about the Harbor Festival. Believe it or not, we're a thorn on a lot of people's side, too, about the festival. So we're trying to figure out what to do. There's a big event happening. Well, not a big event. There's a Harbor Festival event in Santa Barbara this weekend, which a few of the board members will be going down. It's a one-day event from 10 to 5. We wanted to kind of see what they do on that one-day event. We have a pretty good suspicion of what they do, but some of us are going to go down there and kind of check that out on Saturday in Santa Barbara to see if we are going to look at redoing this whole event, because it has become evident that the infrastructure set up, the cost of the infrastructure, and the bodies that it takes to do that infrastructure we're taking a beating on it. So, but I really would like to get a comment from you. We've got a board meeting today to figure out where we're going from this point on, including not doing it. So, but we don't want to do that if we feel that we can impact and get a lot of help from the city itself. So just waiting to hear your comments. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. Yeah, there is a time for board announcements at the end of the meeting, so we'll certainly have that available. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Jane Beeman, and I'm with the Bayfront Inn in Morro Bay. And the reason that I am making a public comment is because I'd like to bring...
Go ahead and close public comment and move to approval of minutes. So hopefully everybody's had a chance to look those over.
I did look the minutes over. I didn't see any corrections, and I'd be willing to make a motion. I'm sorry? Excuse me? I didn't see any corrections speaking from myself. I don't know if the rest of the board. I move that we approve the minutes from the, let me
is
read the
April?
Exact, the Thursday, April 10th, 2014 tourism T-Bid meeting, the annual stakeholders meeting. Mm-hmm. So I move that we approve those minutes.
Second.
All right. Any? Oh, okay. So to pass this motion, we'll do a roll call, starting with Ms. Beeman.
Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
Joan?
Yes.
John Myers?
Yes.
And myself, yes. So that's it passes. So let's move on to our consent agenda, the election of chair and vice chair.
Can I help you?
Yes, Joan.
Let me help you.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Mendoza.
Yes, ma'am.
On the consent agenda, there is A, the election of chair and vice chair, which
our board adopts, the recommendation was made by the Tourism Bureau Board to adopt their chair and vice chair to directly mirror, which would be it would be a direct mirroring.
Which would be yourself as chair?
Right.
I know you did. And
for the visitor center, we can take these all on consent agenda as a vote to adopt the consent items.
Right. And these are just mirrored from what our Tourism Bureau
votes
passed,
already have been.
Okay.
Correct. And so what you would have to do is ask if anybody wants to pull any of those items.
Okay.
And if they do, we have to move to discuss those.
All right.
If they don't want to pull those items, then we can take a motion.
Okay. So does anybody want to pull any of these items for discussion?
Well, I have a question first. We were just given a lot of financials, I think, last night, which I haven't even had a chance to review. I don't even know if they're the same as last time or if they have to be approved first by the Tourism Board. So
those are, I think, for our other meeting.
Those are monthly.
Yeah, our monthly
financials.
I didn't have a chance to read.
It's not a new budget.
Sorry, yeah, those came in late. So,
it's the same budget.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
So I think Alex wanted to say something. Alex?
Why not just make a motion that we adopt to mirror exactly.
All right. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that we adopt all the consent items.
Right.
All right. Any other discussion? So, Jane, I'm going to poll the board now. Jane?
Yes.
Vote. Alex?
Yes.
Joan?
Yes.
John Myers?
Yes.
And myself, yes. So that would be passed unanimous. Thank you. And now we'll move on to the review of transient occupation tax, the TOT, and I think John Myers had some information on this.
Although this review of TOT is a little bit more extensive because we're trying to accomplish a couple of things. Joan had the idea that it would be a good idea if we tried to include in the TOT report, address all the questions that the board members and people from the audience have included as questions, things that they would like to see in the TOT report, that we try to include those things. And then Joan had some other ideas of things to add to the TOT report, which we had not talked about before. And then thirdly was going forward to start standardizing the TOT report. Every report we've had in the past has been in a different format, so we wanted to try and formalize the format of the TOT report. So this is our first attempt to accomplish that. I would ask, if possible, that as we go along, if there's information any board member would like to see included in the report going forward, I'd sure like to, you know, receive those comments during the meeting so we can include those in the report going forward. And please consider this as a bit of a work in progress. This is the first attempt to come up with this kind of all-encompassing report. So I think we've accomplished a lot, but based on input from the board, I'm sure we can improve this substantially going forward. What I'd like to do is just walk through this. It won't take a whole lot of time, but then again, as we're going through this, if there's questions or discussion, please just bring it up as we're on the topic. If you look at the report now, it's presented in three different sections. The Frunculate, it shows the information that's on the city report. Then it also includes ADR and RevPAR on a monthly basis and annually. And then starting with the comparison of 2002 to 2003, it gives a comparison of percent change of occupancy, ADR, and RevPAR on a monthly and annual basis. Like I say, all the way from 2002 through right now, August 2014. So I mean, there's a lot of really interesting information there to look at. We've seen this report before. But it'll become part of the standard report going forward. Section 2 of this report it's the same data, but it's converted to a calendar basis. We have to do a conversion to calendar basis so we can compare our numbers to the STR report. And Section 3 of Part 1 is the comparison of our numbers to the STR report. We did occupancy, RevPAR, and ADR from 2010 to present through August of 2014. And then included in here our comparison to the STR report numbers for California, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, Monterey, Salinas, and Morro Bay. So if you look at Part 3 all the way at the end, I think it's, you know, very, well, let me just say, on the STR report, the based on the numbers of rooms for just, if you look at the county of San Luis Obispo, it seems like a comparison of Morro Bay to the other geographic areas, because Morro Bay is 100% of the hotels reporting. But it's, I think it's reasonably close enough to give us a pretty accurate representation of how Morro Bay is doing versus the our competition to the north and south of us. And if you look at Section 3, it's pretty, you know, pretty impressive. I think we lead in the majority of the categories. Through for the, now this is for the 8 months ending August of 2014, occupancy was up for Morro Bay at 9.3%, RevPAR was up at 18.3%, and ADR was up 8.3%. So I, you know, pretty darn impressive numbers. If you look right above that in the prior report, where it's the actually the whole year of 2014. What's interesting to me is that you, if you look at occupancy and RevPAR for January, February, and April of 2014, that's actually where the big gains occurred. And we have been trying very hard to improve our particularly occupancy in the off-season, and it seems like that has really happened this year or in 2014, calendar 2014. And the net result of that has been is pretty impressive numbers in comparison to the rest of the counties in the area. Are there any questions on the first part of this report?
John, can you hear me? It's John. Yeah. I just want to let you, I'm showing it on the overhead, so I'm down at the whatever. I want to let you know that it's 60% of the county that reports. So when you're saying, oh, I think it's some of the smaller independents, it's basically 60% of the hotel rooms in the county that's reporting on that.
Okay, that's interesting, because, but it's good to know. That's good to know, because they're reporting an awful lot of rooms. I think they're reporting like 5,200 to 6,500 rooms, but 60%. Let's go ahead and use that. So, you know, the net is this isn't 100% apples to apples, but I think it still is a reasonably good representation. And also take into consideration the report a couple of quarters ago when we looked at the benefit that the particular Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo get from being on the Highway 101 corridor. We figured that was about a 15 to 20% benefit in occupancy being on that corridor, getting the business traffic and the two-tire-to-drive traffic. That also works in the favor of those two locations in particular. And I think you'd see that probably a lot in Santa Barbara, maybe not as much, well, it would be more in the Salinas side, but that's a tough place to stop a house, I think. Anyway, let's go to the next report.
John,
this one looks...
John, can I jump in here? Can I...
Yeah.
You know, for members of our audience, can you just briefly, or maybe some of the other hoteliers, tell us what the ADR means and the rev part, so everybody knows, especially in the audience, knows what we're talking about?
Yeah, you know what? Let's look at the next report, and okay. I'll actually do it as we walk through the next report. And this is the monthly report, and basically it starts in 2010 and goes through August of 2014. We picked 2010 for a couple of reasons. One was it's approximately the beginning of the T-bid, and two, it was as far back as the sales tax data I had went. If we can get more historical sales tax data. We can take this back further if we feel necessary. It starts with the same information that the city gives us on their TOT, the monthly TOT report, which we see, which is basically revenues and TOT receipts for motels, trailer parks, and vacation rentals. And then totals those up and gives us the, it calculates the amount of assessment that the T-bid will be receiving based on the revenues of the motel, of those three business segments. I'm just going to start on the left and work to the right, and I'll use 2014, full year of 2014, as the example year, if that's okay with you. Left, we've got motel receipts, then the TOT collected, which is 10% of that. The occupancy as reported by the hoteliers. In this big report, we've added the number of days in the month. I just need that for formulas in here. And from that, we calculate the average daily revenue and the RevPAR, revenue per available room. Okay. The average daily revenue is the total revenue earned by the hoteliers in total for the whole city, divided by the number of rooms that were actually rented. So it gives you the average rate per room that's actually rented. The revenue per available room, or RevPAR, is the same calculation, except it's divided by the total number of rooms available, not just the rooms rented. So the three key measures would be occupancy, how many rooms did you rent, and how much did you rent those rooms for. So occupancy tells you how many rooms you rented, or the percentage of rooms rented. ADR tells you the average amount of rent you charge for those rooms, and revenue per available room is really the kind of the measure of combining ADR and occupancy, and it tells you what you actually earned for the average number, or to the total number of rooms that we've had available to rent in the city. So, and you can see that ADR, RevPAR, and occupancy all vary widely during the year based on the tourist or off-season times of the year. I'm going to keep going across. The same number of rooms is reported by the city. That's on the city report. The T-bid assessment of 3%. Then we just go through the trailer parks and their TOT collected of 10%. Vacation rentals, the TOT collected of 10%. And I just want to talk, Jane, I'll call the city and make sure that the Airbnb properties are included as vacation rentals.
They're not. If they're not licensed, they're not included because they don't pay.
Yeah, but I would presume they're licensed. Let's find out for sure. Okay, I'll take that on and report back to the board next month on that. Column N is total TOT collected. So if you look at January 2014, that total TOT collected for the city was $346,000 for the month. Column O, percent of TOT collected by month. What this is Joan's idea, and I think it's a really good one. What we did was we said in for the year of 2014, what percentage of our TOT was collected during each month. So for the month of July, we earned 13% of the TOT for the year. In the month of June, we earned 11% of the TOT. So when we multiplied that times the city budget for TOT, the city budget for TOT was $2 million, which is the next column over column P. So if you do 13% times $2 million, you get $260,000. So to stay on budget for the city, we would have needed to earn $260,000 during the month of July to meet the city's TOT budget. Column Q actually determines whether we were over or short. So for the month of July 2014, we actually earned $86,000, $86,315 more than the city needed to meet their revenue budget for TOT, or for the total year, for the year ending June 2014, we exceeded the city's budget at the bottom column of Q, $515,325. I'd just like to drop down to 2015, fiscal 2015, right below that. You can see for July, we exceeded the city's budget by $109,705, and for August, we exceeded the city's budget by $95,721. So we're already over $200,000 to the good for the city budget for 2015. So this gives us the ability when we go back to the city on our, because we've been asked to go back to the city and report at their meetings but how we're doing on the TOT budget, and these are the numbers which we will report.
And John, that excess is based on the percentages that we used from the year before of what percent the budget came in. So that excess is based on the budgeting percentages.
Yeah, for 2015, we're using the percentages for 2014. When 2015 is complete, we'll determine what those actual percentages are, and we'll use those we'll adjust those to 2015 and use those then for the coming year, 2016. Anyway, there's been questions along the way. What would be the impact if vacation rentals and trailer parks were included in the assessment? So we've calculated that in columns R and S. So for the month of August, if the vacation rentals were being charged an assessment, they would contribute $12,234, and the trailer parks would have contributed $5,453. So it's not big numbers, but they are numbers that are growing, particularly as it relates to vacation rentals. And then the last two columns are the sales tax. This is probably the area where it's the most work in progress. Like I said, I've got the HDL sales tax reports that go back to 2010, and those reports are done on a quarterly basis. So the fourth quarter of fiscal 2014 has not been reported yet. That's why there's an NA in there. And what I did is, starting in 2011, the report started to break out the different geographic regions in the city. So they've got North Morro Bay, the Embarcadero, Quintana, and the Main Street Business District. And then if you subtract that from the total, you get everybody else. I just took and included here the sales tax earned on the Embarcadero, feeling that that was obviously the most tourism-driven business area in the city. So we should be able to see trends and fluctuations in sales tax earned on the Embarcadero area. Trend meaning, if you look at 2011, in the first quarter, which is June, July, or July, August, September quarter, we earned $85,000 in sales tax on the Embarcadero. The next year went up to $88,000, then $91,000, and this past year, $101,000. So you can see a definite trend to the positive that business is improving in the Embarcadero. And then you can also, if you look at the quarterly numbers, you can also see the seasonality of that. So you can draw the conclusion that those improvements are tourism-driven business, which has got to be impacted by the marketing efforts of the Tourism Bureau. Just want to point out that if you look at 2011, which was, I think, $85,000 for the quarter versus $101,000 for the first quarter of 2014. When it's only a $16,000 increase in sales tax earned on the Embarcadero, but sales tax is only 1% So 16,000, that means $1.6 million more was spent in those 90 days on the Embarcadero in 2014 than was in 2011. So if you look at it in terms of real numbers, not just the 1% sales tax, it becomes quite a bit more meaningful. So there's an extra $550,000 a month being spent on the Embarcadero now than there was spent on the Embarcadero 3 years ago. So I think that's pretty impressive. I'll stop on this report here. This is kind of the key, I think, of what we were trying to get to in revamping our TOT reporting process. Are there any questions or comments on this report before we get to the last one?
John?
Yes.
That seems we are reporting maximum 917 room, and then it keeps fluctuating, you know, few up and down every month. What is the maximum? Because we calculating the RevPAR and also occupancy on those numbers. How accurate those reporting are, you think?
Can I help you answer that, John?
Sure, go ahead.
Alex, to answer that, we had a large hotel in North Morro Bay when we first started out. That hotel closed, they tore down, and they converted to an apartment building. So then we saw a decrease in number of rooms. And then we saw an addition with the Estero Inn. So then the rooms started to jump back up. And then we saw a hotel that renovated and reduced their number of rooms. And then we saw a hotel that added one or two rooms. So it's never really jumped in terms of a great number of size. The big decrease occurred when the hotel closed in North Morro Bay, if that helps.
Yeah, it.
They are accurate in terms of hotels. And then what didn't reflect is prior to, I want to say, late 2012 fiscal year, early 2013 fiscal year, the city was not asking information about out-of-order rooms. So if you closed your hotel to renovate, you would just report that you had 25 rooms and this was, you had $1 of revenue for those 25 rooms. You wouldn't say, I had 10 rooms closed for renovation or something like that. So now there is a line item to report that, and that's why we're seeing more accurate fluctuation in room numbers.
Yeah, I think I would add to that, Alex, that I think the highest number I've seen over the 11 years is 921 rooms. Mm-hmm. So there's not a whole lot of fluctuation, particularly in the more current years. And if you've got a fluctuation of 10 rooms, it's only a 1% or 1.5% fluctuation in the total number of rooms. So it really does not impact the ADR or RevPAR calculations that much.
I understand that. I just want to make sure that hotels are reporting correctly also, because that really affects our numbers to properly show, especially if you have such a detailed information now. And I don't know the form. I don't know if the form has a line right now showing the down rooms.
It actually explains what... I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but I believe it explains, it asks you, you know, did you have the room? It asks something referring to, did you have the room out for, you know, was it occupied or whatever?
No.
Yeah, it's, what, does anyone out there who is familiar yesterday, let's see, what's the date today? It had to be filled out recently.
So. It only shows what is available.
Yeah, so what is available. So if you have a room for construction, out for construction, it's unavailable.
Right. They don't put anything that said is down.
30 days, though.
Right.
It has to be for 30 days.
So it's okay. I mean, I think overall trend doesn't make a difference.
It's the best information we have.
Right.
And it's the best
exactly.
information we can get. I agree.
John, it's Jane. And first of all, I want to this is like so comprehensive. It's a fabulous report because it gives a lot of information not only to understand where we've come from, but maybe to plan for the future. One of the things that I wanted to know is we have a cost of goods every year. Rooms have to go up because our cost of operations go up. The retailers have to increase their prices because of their costs, you know, for their wholesale costs go up. Has any of that gone into consideration when you did these reports? Because if it's a 3%, if it's 3% that we have to look at, how, you know, my thing is, how much have we really grown? And when we look at the future and we look at, you know, we talk about and we think about the financials that they're predicting for the futures, and maybe we have to reduce our rates. Where can we go with this for our marketing future? And that's kind of a question that arises for our marketing people, because I think they need to look at that all the way around. So my question, besides just talking, my question is, when you did this report, did you consider any cost of operation?
We just have no cost information to deal with. That all is proprietary information by each business owner. So there's nothing we can see. All we can do is say, you know, that TOT went from 1.8 million to 2.5 million over the last 4 years. So we're generating $7 million a year more revenue to the business owners. Hopefully, a big chunk of that is dropping to their bottom line, but it, you know, it all depends on each business owner's style of business and business decisions that determine how profitable or, you know, how big or how small their margins are.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is because if, in fact, there is the state or feds come out with a law to increase minimum wage to $13 or $12, we're going to all have to increase our rates to cover that cost. So here we have, we're going to be looking at ADR and thinking, oh, look at how good we've done, when actually we just have to cover our costs. That's why I bring this up. So thank you, John.
That's a very good point, Jane, that, you know, not if minimum wage goes up, but when minimum wage goes up, all wages go up exponentially. So, you know, it's a myth that a hotel or restaurant workers are all paid minimum wage. That's not true. But if minimum wage does go up, then their wages go up. Yeah, everybody's goes up exponentially. So that, yeah, that will be built into the rate. But the purpose of this report, besides looking at success or areas to improve upon, is also to provide the city with an overall snapshot of what has occurred. And we are responsible for providing a quarterly report to them, quarterly financial report, and we believe that this is a significant part of that package, because it does show that even in our slower months that the climate is improving, and it answers some of the questions that they've been asking us. It answers some of the questions.
All right. Any other questions? Now, John, did you had more, correct? Or no?
Yeah, there's just one more page. Okay. That I just want to make comment on. It's the quarterly report. I like this one because it gives a really good, broad snapshot of, you know, the last, in this case, from 2007 to present. And I think this is going to go to one of Jane's points, but the first part of the chart is motel receipts from 2007 through the first 2 months of fiscal 2015. And then total lodging, which is, you know, what we talk about in terms of total TOT when we're, you know, talking about the city, and then just breaking out vacations, rentals, and RV parks. you know, the RV parks are growing, but moderately slowly. But look what has happened to vacation rentals. In the first 2 months of 2015, the vacation rentals receipts were $873,000, compared to the entire year of 2014 was only $1.9 million. So they made almost 50% of 2014 revenue, the revenue they made in the first 2 months of 2015 is almost 50%, probably 45% of what they, of their total revenue for the prior year. I don't know if that's just because vacation rentals go really dead in January, or if it's because the vacation rental business has exploded. And this is, Jane, this is another one I thought that Airbnb, you know, the bed and breakfast kind of room must be included in there, because it's got to be reflecting that kind of, you know, be contributing to that kind of growth. But I'll check into that and report in the next meeting. I think that's the only thing I wanted to comment on this report. Anyway, so that's what it looks like. I sure would appreciate, and it doesn't have to be right now, but if any emails over the term of the month, suggestions or comments, things, you know, improvements, additional things to include, whatever, because we're trying to get this thing to be as comprehensive of a report as we possibly can, and standardize the format of that reporting going forward, so every quarter we know what to expect. Anyway, that's it. Any comments or questions?
Any comments or questions from our board here?
John?
I still didn't understand the motel receipt versus the lodging receipt.
The motel receipt versus the lodging receipt? What's the difference between the two?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The first section, right, your motel receipt. What's the difference between that and a total lodging?
The motel receipts are just the motels. Total lodging includes vacation rentals.
Oh, vacation rental, okay. Yeah. Well, if you look at the total, then wouldn't you say that about like 20% is the vacation rental? Right?
Hang on. My PC just... hang on one sec.
I think that... I'm going to make a comment here, and I'm going to put myself out on a limb as a hotelier. I just see that both the growth in hotel revenue and occupancy rate equilaterally, and also the growth in vacation rentals, and specifically the growth in vacation rentals, reflects in the summer months that there's basically no room in the inns. And I do know that speaking with the city, we've basically gone from like 140-something vacation rentals to 160 through this permitting scope of work that an outside contractor is doing, double-checking on all of the permits. So we have grown in terms of vacation rentals, so we should see that revenue grow next year as well. My point is that when we're so impacted like this in terms of high occupancy for vacation rentals and high occupancy for hotels, there's room for growth in hotel construction in Morro Bay. That's my personal opinion. Whether, you know, that matters at all, it has no bearing on the board, but...
What about the issue of sometimes hoteliers avoid blocking out rooms where, you know, a 3 or 4 bedroom house could accommodate a group that wants to stay together, and they're unable to do that in a hotel?
That's true too, mm-hmm. Right. And so there's very few hotels in Morro Bay, or scratch even the hotels, there's very few rooms in Morro Bay that are like a 3-bedroom suite, mm-hmm. meaning hotel rooms. As a matter of fact, I can think of only off the top of my head 3 hotels that have a family suite like that that's mm-hmm. 2-plus bedrooms. In order to take, you know, to get the cousins and everybody mm-hmm. in, you've got to take a block of rooms. Mm-hmm. That's
well,
right.
The
or a vacation rental.
just to get a little history, I think a lot of the hotels in Morro Bay, like 10 years, 15 years ago, had kitchenette, mm-hmm. and a lot of them had the monthly stayovers.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, we're not supporting that.
Right.
And it's probably like that. That's why vacation rentals are so much growing, because mm-hmm. we do not support a stayover, you know, more than a couple of days. And I think that's a part that, you know, I don't think so the hotel's growth would make any difference. The problem I think we have is all seasonal. Yeah, the reason the vacation rentals does very well in summer is because we don't have rooms. And then the other problem we have on the winter, we have so many rooms available in hotels, which we're not filling. So there's no need as much vacation rental problem on the winter. But in summer, yeah, any rooms that is available is taken. So it definitely, I think, vacation rental should be part of our number, and they should be probably treated the same as the hotels as far as the revenue concerned. But you know, that's the city, not mm-hmm. us. But,
right.
You know, the reason I think seasonal affect us a lot more than anywhere else, because we don't really... Summer we do really well, you know, 80-90%, and in the winter we're like 60, maybe 50% fill. So that makes it really focus for us to grow on a winter and have more stuff happening on the winter time. Hopefully mm-hmm. we'll do that as a board, but that's really what causes, I think, that you're getting a lot more vacation rental coming in summers.
All right, John, I'm sorry. John, I just wanted to commend you on this document here. I see us using this into the future and adding the numbers as we go along. So a big thank you to you and your hard work on this. Also, if there's no more comment from the board, I'd like to open up for public comment on this, as well as the consent agenda as well. I forgot to mention that. We do public comment after each item. So any public comment, Mr. Solu?
Yes, just a couple of observations that John, great job, by the way, John Meyer, on that report. John Solu, Citizen Morro Bay.
Thank you, John. Mr. Solu.
I just wanted to make a couple comments. One, you kind of alluded to it, John, by saying, talking about vacation rentals, how the first 2 months is basically half of all of last year's just for vacation rental receipts. I think that might have a lot to do with supply. That would be another column you might want to include for the future to look at supply Morro Bay change, which is basically almost zero. But it'd be interesting to see what it was in the whole county, what it was for the Santa Barbara, Santa Maria area, Monterey, Salinas area, because that will also affect the bottom line of the dollars, because there's been a lot of supplies added, especially within the county. A lot more rooms got built, a lot more rooms are in the pipeline. So that might be another thing you might want to go back to 2010 and kind of include in there. And I'm not trying to defeat the purpose of our growth, but our growth in occupancy has a lot to do with that we have no new supply versus the rest of the county, number one. Number two, the other comment I would just like to make is regarding ADR. You know, we're always complaining that we are, our 13% is much higher than the 11% of Cayucas and 11% of Cambria, and we can't add this 1%, the county-wide TBID percentage in here. Well, you know, we have an 8.3% growth in average daily rate, so that kind of defeats the purpose of the argument saying we can't add any more percentages to charge the customer because we're already at high. When we were at high and we're in 8.3% growth versus the rest of the county of 6% growth. Also, a reminder, you know, in August we ran $142 average rate in the city of Morro Bay. Cayucas was still over $160. So we still have a lot of room to catch there. And my hat's off to all the owners that really renovated, that contributed to that 8.3%. Millions of dollars got spent over the last 2 years. Thank you.
Thank Thank you. Any other comment on these on this issue or item? Seeing no one coming forward, we're going to move on to adopt annual marketing report and plan as approved by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. This is just a mirrored item. From okay. So unless there's any comment, do I entertain a motion to approve?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All those in poll all members. Jane?
Yes.
Alex?
Yeah.
Joan?
Yes.
John Myers?
Yes.
And myself, a yes. So that proved unanimous. I'll move on to our declaration of future agenda items. Anybody?
No, but if you have any within the next 2.5 or 3 months, just send them Brent's way, right?
Yeah, yes. Brent, our CEO. And now we're on to board announcements, and this is opportunity.
Just one.
Oh, yes.
John, this report, which you did an excellent job, who's going to maintain it in future? I think we need to maybe discuss it, especially since John is not going to be.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John and I worked on it together, and we have some thoughts on that, and we're going to sit and meet with Brent and Nick, because Nick's the treasurer. We're going to sit and meet with Brent and Nick. It's fairly straightforward. Once we get all the information established the way the board wants to see it, then, and I know I'm speaking kind of for both of us, John, I think it's probably fairly straightforward. It's a matter of putting some numbers in. John and I actually had a discussion similar to that, and John is also willing, as he mentioned before, to stay on and help us with some of the, in terms of reporting and research, which I consider this quite a bit of research that we put together. He would be willing to assist us with that too, and I don't want to speak for you, John, but you might want to weigh in on that.
Wait, before you weigh in, John, can I ask a question? Is this report going to just come out
quarterly?
For the
Bureau wants to see it monthly. All we have to do is agendize it and discuss it.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because the Tourism Bureau has, in the bylaws, can have board members that don't vote and just do input. So that could happen on that level. So I'm just bringing that up for consideration.
I just want to make sure that we continue updating.
Okay.
And I think probably quarterly is just fine. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Right.
So if you're going to do it every month, maybe you don't have all the information in. So my suggestion to do it quarterly, and just someone who's going to be maintaining is really my concern.
Yeah, just to avoid any discussion on this, because we're kind of off topic here, but I think if we maybe use a subcommittee to maintain this on a quarterly basis, I think would be fine. Just one other thing also is this, you know, it's kind of hard to, if people are watching, it's kind of hard to follow that overhead because there's a lot of information, even on a computer, it's hard to follow. There's so much information there. Is there anywhere online that the public can access this document if they want to? Because there's just so much great information in here.
There's nowhere online right now, but we will be supplying it to City Council as part of the quarterly reporting package.
Okay.
And they make those reports available online. We
right.
can make it available on the TBID portal once we do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a matter of public right now. If anybody wants to reach out to me and see it, they can. The chamber had some interest in it, and I let them know at the next board meeting I'd bring it back to them. That's in a
nope.
Alex?
No.
Joan?
As you all know, I'm on the Morro Bay Community Foundation Board, and we have a fabulous event, which I think the hoteliers should let their guests know about. It's Morro Bay Sings Country, and it's Saturday.
On the overhead.
Where can I put it?
On the overhead.
Okay. It's Saturday night, November 8th. The doors open at 8 p.m., and we have some fabulous country artists, one who's already played at the Grand Ole Opry, which is a local girl. It's Callie Twizzleman. She's a Twizzleman Bobson, and she's a local gal out of Paso, and she is our headliner. The Angus Lewis Band and Judge Mike and Steve Mamon. We've got some great country artists. Tickets are $25. You can contact the Recreation and Parks Department directly for tickets, or you can contact me at 805-459-3274. And dinner is separate. It is catered by the Galley Seafood Grill and Bar, and it is soup, salad, and bread for $10. There is a bar with donated wine. 100% of the money raised here goes directly to youth sports and sports scholarships for kids in Morro Bay, Los Osos, and Cayucas. The Morro Bay Community Foundation wrote a check to the Recreation and Parks Department, the City of Morro Bay, for almost $37,000 in scholarships for the 2013-2014 year. And when I come knocking on your door for a raffle item, community center, if you'd like to buy tickets for your hotel or do any kind of package, please contact me, 805-459-3274. Thank you.
I have an announcement.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, first of all, this is the first weekend for Open Studios, which is a countywide art scene. And if you're interested, I know that there are brochures over at the Morro Bay Arts Center, but also at the Marina Square Gallery, so you can go around town. We've got a lot of artists in Morro Bay that are participating, and it's this weekend, the next weekend, and the next weekend, which is the 17th and 18th, I think that's the date, is the first opportunity that you can see the surfboards that are part of the surfboard art and auction, and that will be at Forever Stoked Gallery.
Any other announcements, Joan? I'll just make an announcement on the Harbor Festival. I just want to commend the board, along with John Solu and Don Doubledee and all the other volunteers. Our Rotary Club was involved with some volunteers as well. It's a tremendous undertaking, but I think it's worthwhile to move forward with this. It's something that has a deep history. I think what we need is more community involvement. We need more city involvement. Because when we have an event like this, what it does is it brings people to this town. Some of them stay in hotel, motel rooms, that's fine, but they also come here and spend dollars, which pay for that. So keep that in mind when we, and it's towards the end of our busy season in October, so I think we need to get on board and really help this continue to move forward and just not have the same people working to do this. So. And also, our lighted boat parade is coming up in December. I believe it's December 6th, I believe, something around that. But anyway, look forward to the lighted boat parade. That's going to be a huge event for this community as well. So December 6th, keep that in mind. So as sponsorships or volunteer your time to help with that also, it'd be greatly appreciated. Any other announcements?
I'd just like to say regarding Harbor Festival, John asked for our comments back, and I'd like to see once Brent returns from being away, I would like to see maybe Brent sit down with some of the key members off the Harbor Festival board and a subcommittee, or not even a subcommittee, but you know, maybe just some folks off our board, whoever the Harbor Festival wants to work with, and see how we can do some things like what Nick talked about, make the Harbor Festival sustainable for the next 33 years so that someday the City of Morro Bay is celebrating the 66th annual Morro Bay Harbor Festival. And also get the city to a point where they understand that they have some skin in the game. Mm-hmm. And so work with them too. So I'd like to see that group come together, and I'll as future board chair, ask Brent if he can reach out to them and work with them to set up time to work with
Alex?
Them.
Yep.
Joan?
Yep.
Nick, yes. John?
No.
Okay. 4-1, it does pass. So we'll close this meeting and start our next meeting after a 5-minute break. Thank you.
Thank you.